a Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, hello, and a happy new year to everybody.
Yes, happy new year to you.
And welcome back to the Confessions podcast. This is the first podcast of 2026 with brand new confessions. Although you've obviously enjoyed the top 10 confession countdown from 2025, which was on last week, I believe.
Yeah, it was very good.
Anyway, we're all here, but we get, so as you can tell, Sister Susie is back in the pub.
I am indeed.
Brother Matthew is live from his gold-plated gutter.
My gold-plated gutter?
Wow. Yes. That's great for 2026. Like
Sister Holly is guarding her silver-plated cupboard of tat.
Why does Matt get the gold and I get the silver? That's not fair.
But that's completely wrong. That works for me.
It looks like silver. Maybe it's platinum.
Ooh. Yeah, maybe it is.
In which case, you're over and above.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
We're going to keep things nice and short this week for reasons
that are already obvious to anyone listening.
They are already obvious. In fact, you'll hear very many different versions of my voice. You can chronicle
chart how it goes through the week.
You can, you know, starting averagely healthy, then getting sick, and then slightly better.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, so there's no parish notice board or not for broadcast, but we'll stack them all up for next week. Just a run of fabulous confessions back to back. Coming up, we have Ridder's mistaken identity. Are you not entertained? Larry's supermarket mix-up that escalates very quickly. We're S-H-O-P-P-I-N-G, we're shopping. And Andrew's confession, mirrors on the ceiling. But first, we're kicking off with the Fate Day felons. I know Matt gets confused as well.
I did a bit.
And the confession called The Mind of a Toy.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession, first of the year, comes from someone who has signed their tale, The Fate Day Felon.
The Fate Day Felon.
Fate Day. Dear. It's a day of the fate, and they're a felon.
Right.
I'm just reading it out.
No, good.
Dear Father Mayo and the assembled choir of forgiveness, I come to you today with a burden so heavy, so shame-soaked, that even now I can hear the faint jingle of a tombola drum echoing through my conscience. It was the day of the summer fate.
Fate. Yeah.
Yeah, not that kind of fate.
Okay, got it now.
Not F A T E.
Making perfect sense.
F Good. E yeah. circumflex.
Circumflex. Yeah.
T-E.
Nice.
Yeah.
A day meant to be filled with community spirit, homemade cakes of questionable density, and the distinct smell of damp bunting. I had volunteered, with the naivety of a fool, to run the local search and rescue charity stall. I should say naivete has got an E acute accent and an umlaut over the I.
Wow.
Excellent.
So the Fate Day Felon is going crazy at this point with his circumflex. All the games were in place. Splat the Rat had been dusted off and the tombola drum rolled out until I realised one small catastrophic detail. I had no prizes. Panic set in. I scoured the house for anything that could pass as a quotes, small but delightful prize. But all I found was a dusty candle and a pen that hadn't worked for decades. And then I saw them. My daughter's toys. Innocently resting in her room, completely unaware they were about to become collateral damage in the name of the local fundraising effort. She was at school. I justified it to myself. She won't notice. She's got loads of them. It's for charity. So I grabbed them. Assorted electronic games, Tamagotchis, Polly Pocket, activity toys like Sky Dancers that flew when you pulled a string. Except they didn't really.
Oh.
Doodle Bear, Beanie Babies, Slime, Pogs, and of course, the Spice Girl dolls.
Oh, those ones, yeah. Oh.
All of them. Fast forward to the fate, the sun is shining. The queue for the stall was long. And I had begun to believe I might actually get away with it. Time for a well-earned cup of tea. I left the stall in capable hands, or so I thought. I left strict instructions that if my daughter showed up, not to let her play. Beaming with pride at my ingenuity, clearing the house of unwanted toys and helping a well-deserved charity, and sipping my drink, I heard a sound that still haunts me. Sprinting towards me at full speed, beaming with pride, my angelic child. "Look, Mummy," she shouted. Sounded as though she was in some kind of Christmas drama.
Yeah, no, I like it, yeah.
"I've got one of these like this at home. In fact, exactly like this, haven't I?" Mm. "Yes, I have Tamagotchi and Polly Pockets." She kept up the voice for a while.
Yes, she was, wasn't she?
Oh, she did.
"I've got Beanie Babies and Slime and Spice Girl dolls." Oh. Isn't that amazing coincidence? "That sky..." Oh, you gave up at that point.
Yeah.
"That sky dancer is exactly like mine. It even has a felt tip mark on its face like mine." Well, Father Simon, there was no escape. There was no excuse, no hole in the ground big enough to swallow me. She walked to the stall and brandished one of her toy Furbies. "Isn't that a coincidence?" I said. My face was pale. My mouth was dry. But I could not admit the truth. I was committed to this deception. No backing down from me. Backing down is for losers. And so, Father Simon...
Is it? Oh, right. Okay.
I stand before you seeking forgiveness. Not for the heinous crime of stealing from my own child, it was for charity, but for pretending she still had a Furby like that at home and making up a search for it that evening. I looked everywhere. It'll turn up, no question. Here, have some chocolate and some sweets and crisps. Shall we watch cartoons? That's classic parenting,
yeah,
don't you think?
Well done.
Yours in shame, the fate, Day Fallant Fate, with a hyphen in between fate and day, and an umlaut over the E.
Yes.
Sister Susie, what do you say to Mr. Fallant?
Yes, well, I kind of was with them for quite a while of that because, you know, I'm a mum, there's toys everywhere, surely they're not going to remember a couple of them. But for me, it was the Spice Girls dolls. What? How? You can't give up Spice Girls dolls.
Did you have them?
I had a Spice Girls doll, yeah. I had a Jerry and I had...
One of the
Emma.
Other ones.
One of the
yeah,
others.
Emma, Ringo, no, Emma and Jerry. Ringo. George was my favourite. But yeah, I just think you can't do that. And also, just don't play along with it, looking for it at home. You could have just been honest.
Yes, the fake search party at the end, I'm sure it's going to be around. It'll turn up.
No, yeah. You know it's not
crisps.
There. Yeah. Just distract straight away.
Brother Matthew.
Well, I mean, nobody really comes out too well out of it. I wouldn't have thought, I mean, it's not a great tombola prize to get secondhand toys. I'm not sure I'd be too happy with that. But then, you know, it was all for charity, wasn't it? And it feels to me, I'm just going to guess at this, that the daughter had too many toys, maybe. Maybe too many. All the Tamagotchis and the Bogs and whatever else. All of those. Too many of them. Yes, Bogs and Pogs. Well, whatever.
What?
There is so many, in fact, that we've all forgotten. What
Slime,
was
the, Pogs and Spice Girls.
Spice Girls. So for all of them, and she learned a great lesson about charity. And this time of year, isn't that what we're all thinking about? Probably.
No.
Not me. Anyway, so for all those reasons, and because it's New Year, let's forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's rather showbiz confession comes from Ridders. RIDDERS.
Ridders?
Ridders.
"Dear Simon, Matt, Holly, Susie, anyone else in the team, I kindly ask your forgiveness. You can call me Ridders." That's what it says.
Okay.
You'll see why in 1 second. "I have worked in the film industry for over 40 years.
Wow.
And I have done more than 50 films, mostly as a prop maker. I may qualify for a lifetime award of unappreciated service to the film industry, along with many other back-of-house colleagues. However, during the filming of Ridley Scott's film Exodus in 2013, starring Christian Bale implausibly as Moses..."
Oh, yes, I remember. Yeah.
"I oversaw the making of The Chariots and also standby for the locations. And after filming in Almeria," which I believe is in southeastern Spain.
Correct, yes it is, Almeria, yes.
Almeria.
Almeria, yeah.
Almeria.
Have you been there?
Yes, Almeria is gorgeous. Yes, lovely.
It's a lovely place. Yeah. Anyway, we were filming there for 8 weeks. We were put on a chartered plane to Fuerteventura for the remaining of the location shoots. However, the word had got out and we were met by an awful lot of photographers. A few of them were running in front of me, to my surprise. Mm. And the next day I found out that they thought I was Ridley Scott.
Wow.
That's why you're calling me Ridders.
Okay.
Somewhat shocked, as I am 6'4" and 53 years old, whilst Ridley was 70 and 5'8". So that's not really complimentary, is it?
No, it's not.
To readers. However, we both have white hair.
Maybe there you go.
That was enough of a likeness for a police lineup on a Spanish island. What would that be called? What would you call a police lineup in Spanish?
But police lineup, I don't know. I literally don't know. Linea de sospechos. Let's say that.
Okay, that's that's very good.
Yeah.
The rest of the crew found this hilarious. From then on, I was called Ridders over the radio all the time when on set. I was slightly concerned that I would be called to Video Village to explain myself. This was a mobile army radio truck containing all the monitors for watching the scenes. This banter, and that's where Sir Ridley himself was sitting. The banter continued pretty well daily. Ridley was on Channel 1, I was on Channel 7, but other departments were all joining in, calling me Ridders. I was sure I would be discovered, and then it would be off with his head. Sir Ridley, I mean, metaphorically speaking.
Of course, yeah.
This isn't Gladiators, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Gladiators, but this isn't Gladiators. Sir Ridley, as you know, is famous for his extraordinary speed as a filmmaker. He has three or four projects in development at one time. If I put this amazing machine out of its stride, there would be consequences. A few days later, I was in a local restaurant, and to my surprise, the chef came out of the kitchen brandishing a chef's hat and requesting my autograph. Well, egged on by several colleagues, I signed it. Best wishes, Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
At this point, the owner, head waiter, and the chef pressed me for a photograph of us all huddled together. Reluctantly and under pressure from colleagues again, I gave in, concerned with the repercussions. Video Village beckoning even closer now, as one of our colleagues was the daughter of the head of Fox Films.
What?
So obviously,
daughter of the head of Fox Films.
Yes, and obviously everyone is going to find out.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ridders will surely be uncovered. However, the good news is, Father Simon, I never did get called. However, the radio banter continued on and off set. 2 years later, some friends were in the said restaurant, and to their surprise, they saw a picture in pride of place above the bar of me.
Wow!
Huddled with three locals brandishing a chef's hat signed Ridley Scott. I asked forgiveness not of Sir Ridley for forging his signature, but I asked forgiveness from the chef, the owner and the head waiter, who to this day think they met the famous director, Sir Ridley Scott, who is a fairly astonishing and extraordinary man. We're just going to lose that there. And a very
nice.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that I think Max Richter would have loved
it. He would have loved it. And Ridley Scott.
Yes. So we have these showbiz signature autograph confessions on an occasional basis, but we've never had one from a big-time movie director. So I like this story from Ridders. What do you say, Suze?
Well, it's quite fun, isn't it? There's a pizza place in Bristol called Renato's, which is next to the Bristol Old Vic, and they often have photographs of people that have been at the Old Vic, signed pictures. And I often look at them and be like, was it really them, or was it someone just pretending it? And I think it's quite fun, but how embarrassing to realise that isn't the right signature on the wall. So I do feel for the restaurant owner.
But they don't know. They don't know, you see. So it's maybe it's fine.
But what if Ridley Scott does go there and he's like, hang on a minute, that's not me. And I can't forgive.
Okay, that seems a little bit harsh, but, you know, mate, that's the role of production.
There we go.
I think to hold the moral compass. Matt, who's never had any kind of moral compass.
No, none at all. I'm definitely going to forgive, because as we've always established with these kind of confessions, you just go along with it, don't you? You just go along with it because nobody's hurt at the end of this. The people in the restaurant are delighted they've got a picture with not Ridley Scott, and he got a chef's hat or something out of it. Brilliant. Ridley Scott didn't get disturbed, so everyone's happy. And thanks to those of you who've pointed out that Rueda de Reconocimiento is a police lineup in Spanish. So, for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
I actually like that. Just say that again in Spanish.
Rueda de Reconocimiento.
No, you're just making it up.
I am a bit.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from... What was I going to call him? Danny. I was going to call him Danny.
Yeah, no, right. I think it was Andrew.
Andrew, right? We're
going to
go
about
Andrew then.
Okay.
I think it was Andrew, but we can go Danny.
No,
apparently it's Andrew.
He's Andrew. His mates call him Danny.
They do, don't they? Yeah.
But we'll call him Andrew then. Father Simon and Holy Collective. This story harked back to 2017. my 10th wedding anniversary with my beautiful wife, Laura. I wanted to whisk her away for the weekend to a 5-star hotel and spa and decided upon the Deluxe Grand La-Di-Da Hotel in Hertfordshire, a well-known plush establishment, a new venue to us, and not cheap at that. Obviously, I've changed the name.
Yes.
I like La-Di-Da. Yeah. Nice.
Upon arrival in my battered Vauxhall Astra, I pulled into the car park and had a choice of where to park. Either next to the Ferraris, the Porsches, or the Aston Martins. And it was at this point I began to appreciate just how posh our retreat was, and that we both might need to put on a few airs and graces, as the clientele we'll be brushing shoulders with could be of a certain wealth and importance.
Mm-hmm.
We unpacked the car and made our way to the reception, where we were greeted by a friendly lady who began to check us in. I gave her my name and she located my booking. She looked up and said, welcome back, Andrew.
Uh-huh.
And congratulations to you both on your anniversary. Well, you can imagine the look on my face, having never been there before, but also my wife's, as she looked slightly more surprised and suspicious than I did.
Oh, no.
Not having the nerve to own up that this was my first visit, I continued politely. She proceeded to inform us that, as it was a special weekend for both of us, and that we'd clearly been there before, that she had upgraded us to one of their suites.
Excellent.
Wow.
I thanked her and she said that Christoph would take our bags and escort us up to our room. My wife was very pleased with this news. Not Christoph, the upgrade, you understand. As it turned out, Christoph was extremely helpful and in a beautiful French accent said, Mr. and Mrs. Bacon, welcome to the Deluxe Grand La-Di-Da here in Hertfordshire.
Excellent.
Follow me and I will escort you to your room, or should I say suite. As we followed him to the lift, convinced that he was an outrageously French man.
He was.
He was enlightening us both on the history of the old house and how nice our room was. In the corner of the hotel, overlooking open fields and a golf course, one thing he did inform us as we walked down the corridor was that the room came with a rule: no piano playing after 10 p.m.
Well, that kind of hotel,
yes,
then.
My wife and I laughed along. We arrived at the door and we followed Christoph inside, only to be greeted with a room bigger than the whole square footage of our house and standing in the corner, a full grand piano. He had not been lying. He then began to show us around, pointing out the fully stocked fridge, separate living room, huge TV, four-poster bed, his and hers sinks, a walk-in shower, standalone bath, and the view he'd mentioned earlier. There was also a bottle of champagne on the table with a plate of fruit and written in chocolate, because that's what you need. It always has to be written in chocolate. Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Begon.
All of that in chocolate. Wow.
That's in chocolate. That's a lot of chocolate.
Nice.
I mean, congratulations. That's a lot of letters.
Yes. I will now need to confess that it was during the first minute of the suite tour that I'd switched off slightly, as I was overcome with a fear that was born out of all the movies and TV programs I'd seen in the past, where you tip the concierge on their way out in what can be seen as a slightly awkward moment for everybody. Now, this was a very posh hotel where the rich and famous have stayed, and the staff are, I expect, looking for large tips to go with their wonderful friendly service.
Mm-hmm.
However, I was expecting the standard room that I'd booked and not what seemed like a whole floor. I'd not factored this in at all, so this is where I need to apologise to Christoph, as when he'd finished and just hovered by the door the way they do, I reached into my pocket and handed him the contents of my pocket. One 50p piece.
Good.
Nice.
Two 5p coins, and for some reason, an old French franc.
Why not?
Worth
nothing.
Sure. So he looked at his hand, did Christoph, very politely thanked me, turned on his way and left. I could feel myself burning up with embarrassment, and my wife was wondering what I'd done. I could not get it out of my head that he was probably used to receiving paper money and not a pocket full of change. And for the rest of the weekend, we had to pass Christoph often. I'd nod to him and he'd nod back. To this day, I still think about what he thought of me, my 50p coin, my 2 5p coins, and my old French franc. Had there been an old ATM on site, I would have made it up to him, but unfortunately there wasn't. I hope I can be forgiven, as I'd never been to a hotel like this before or since. Well, I think the thing is, we've probably all been in those kind of circumstances. Do you tip?
Would you
have tipped? I don't know. So you give what you've got? I suppose it could have been an old bit of Lego, so it could have been worse. But what do you say, Sister Susie, to Andrew, known as Danny?
Andrew, known as Danny to his friends. I'm kind of with him on this. I'm like, I don't carry cash, really, anymore.
Because you're like the queen.
Because I am like the queen. Yeah, and I would have been stuck. He would have got some fluff out of my pocket, probably a tissue or a toddler toy. So he's doing better out of Andrew's pocket than he is out of mine. But I was going to say, and it kind of tickled on at the end, that he could have gone to an ATM. If he's passed him that many times over the weekend, surely there was time just to get back in the car, nip out, get a note, and give it to Christoph.
Oh, do you think? Oh, okay, interesting.
But I'm going to forgive him.
He wouldn't want the contents of my pocket, that's absolutely sure. Nice tissues, thank you very much indeed. Brother Matthew, what do you say?
I'm going to forgive because we've all been in these awful, awkward situations where you've got to find out about the tip, how much is okay, how much you expect. I remember having this problem in America with the guy who takes my car. And I said, how much do people normally tip? Oh, it's entirely up to you, sir. And I'm, well, that's not an answer. I don't know what to give you. So, you know, he got 60p and a franc. That'll do. And Christoph, very happy with that, my instinct. So I'm definitely going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So today's confession comes from Larry. I think I'll give this a PG with a hint of a 12. Father Simon, Sister Susie, Brother Matthew, and whoever else is there, all the most merciful members of the confessional team, I would like to seek forgiveness for a wicked deed that I have lived with for many years and feel the time is right to repent of my sins and get this albatross off my neck. You have an albatross on
your neck?
Around your neck.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Not on your back?
No, it's around your neck's the thing, isn't it?
Years ago, when I was living in London with my then fiancé, times were tough. She studying hard as a student and I working as a delivery driver. We found that in order to make ends meet, we would have to be very careful with our money, and no more so than when we made our weekly shop. Meals were meagre, and it was amazing that what my partner at the time could do with a packet of bean feast. Being a meat eater, I would close my eyes and pretend that I was enjoying the finest minced steak, but I wasn't. I was enjoying bean feast.
I don't even know what bean feast is.
It's a vegetarian thing.
Oh, right, okay.
I, being a male carnivore, had needs, Father Simon.
Oh, goodness.
And so, terrible, isn't it? And when the dreadful shopping day came round, I would force myself to join her in this painful chore. This was to ensure that at least a couple of my meals did not contain soya chunks or the cardboard early forms of vegetarian sausages before more palatable forms adorned our supermarket shelves. In order to get the shop done as soon as possible and avoid embarrassing situations in every aisle, when I was told that the smoked salmon was not in our weekly budget, and neither were the bumper multi-packs of crisps or luxury chocolate biscuits, we would go our separate ways and collect the various items on our list and maybe, just maybe, sneak in the odd naughty but nice purchase. So on this occasion, everything was normal. My partner headed for the infamous dried goods aisle, as well as the reduced section, whilst I loitered in the meat department, hankering for the forbidden steak. So with sausages in hand, I headed back to find my partner and spotted en route a really rather good deal on some lemon slices, the ones that my mother used to buy. And in that moment, I was transported back to those days as a boy. It had been a hard week, and so I thought, I deserve these treats. Mm. I will sweet talk around. She won't be able to resist my charms. On looking around for her, I was surprised to see she'd already finished with her shop and was standing at the tills ready to load the shopping. With her back to me, I snuck up to her, prepared for the charm offensive, put my arms around her, whispering in her ear, "There you go, my darling. You deserve a little treat." And that I playfully slapped her on the behind.
Of course.
Oh my goodness.
And proceeded to throw the items in the trolley before she could object. It was at this point things went a little awry. Mm-hmm. Turning round and looking at me in abject horror was a woman who was clearly not my partner.
There we go.
The woman who I had hugged from behind and slapped her posterior was gawping with her mouth wide open and muttering a few words which weren't English. Yes, she was wearing a similar coloured coat and same kind of hair, but men are not good at the finer details.
What?
Obviously embarrassed, not saying a word, I turned on my heel, and to my horror, my partner was standing a few feet away.
Yeah, of course she was.
Watching this disaster unfold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As her fiancé was, shall we say, getting to grips with another woman. What did I do? Well, I did what any normal man would do, and I ran and hid in the egg section at the back of the store and let my partner deal with the fallout of my indiscretion. It is going to get worse.
Is it?
It turns out that the woman was German, and to the chagrin of my partner, who was about 20 years older than her... Obviously, my sweet nothings had landed on deaf ears, but my partner had to apologise to the lady and her husband as well, and then retrieve the goods from her trolley. I'm happy to say these days, things are not so tough. I am able to afford steak. And I have left the green world of bean feast soya preparation behind, as well as leaving other behinds alone. Simon, I seek forgiveness... Not from my partner at the time, for although we are not together anymore, we are still in touch. And she likes to bring the story up to embarrass me amongst howls of laughter. And not from the lady, for I believe she enjoyed her impromptu encounter.
Oh, really?
What?
To her poor husband.
Oh.
Obviously the third wheel in this, standing in line waiting to load his family shopping whilst this debacle unfolded. I think you just made things an awful lot worse Larry.
Yeah.
And I know quite which way... Susie is going to go. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not going to forgive Larry. I just feel like you just don't go touching people, really, in the supermarket.
I thought it was his other half.
Well, even if it was your other half, maybe the supermarket isn't the place for it, I'm going to say. So I am firmly not forgiving Larry. Keep your hands to yourself.
He thought he might get away with a lemon slice, but he paid a heavy price.
I mean, if you are going to slap someone on the bum and offer them something naughty but nice, make sure it's someone that you're in a relationship with.
Yeah.
That's my advice. Rule for shopping in a supermarket. But, I mean, you know, it was all fine in the end. A bit of a pity that she was 20 years older than your fiancé. And that relationship didn't last, but never mind, you know, because we all learn something about lemon slices and eggs. So, for all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Okay. And maybe also you could ask for forgiveness from the woman.
Yeah,
who
maybe
you
her. Maybe.
Yeah,
and not just her husband.
Hands or whatever.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
That was the weirdest thing, is that he tells a story. It's an interesting story. It's obviously based on a misunderstanding. No one was particularly upset, I think. But the people that he wants forgiveness from is her husband, not the two women.
Yeah, it is odd. But that sort of scenario of you know, grabbing someone that you think is your boyfriend / girlfriend, that's very, very funny.
But also, any kind of PDA, just, I don't know, like if I saw someone, even if they were a public displays of affection, Simon. If I saw someone and they were like touching their girlfriend's bum, even if it was actually like, you know, even if she was fine with that, I would see that and I'd be like, ooh. It's a bit creepy.
Is that okay? That's not okay.
I don't know. I just feel like it's a bit weird. I don't want to see that.
Supermarket's quite public, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit public for
it
that.
It is public.
You know what?
You
it's a bit much.
Yes,
and I don't go to, you know, the high street to see that sort of behaviour.
Oh my goodness. I haven't come out shopping to be able to see you touching your girlfriend's bottom.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, no, quite right.
What I found most interesting about that exchange was the fact that I looked puzzled by PDA.
Yes, yeah.
And Holly was clearly annoyed that I didn't know.
How do you not know that?
I thought that's quite an old phrase. That's
public
not.
Display, do you know what?
Well, the problem is PDA. Right. So obviously this is going to date us. PDA used to mean something completely different.
Oh, what
and
did
it wasn't
it mean?
Public
no.
display of. It's
what
something it very, very banal and dull.
Oh, okay.
It's the little devices that we had before iPhones. They were called. Again, this is all
pages.
Going edited out. Like Palm Pilots.
No.
Remember Palm Pilots?
Yes.
Those were PDAs.
What did PDA stand for?
Personal Diary Assistant.
There you go.
Oh.
Was it?
Something like that. I don't know. I can't remember what it was, but PDA, that's what a PDA was. And then you said PDA. So the first thing that came into my mind was why are you talking about
my personal diary?
I was thinking PDF, and I couldn't work out where that
yeah,
was.
Yeah,
fit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm now educated.
Yeah.
Which is very good. Anyway, it got a mixed reaction on the people's verdict.
But Harriet says not forgiven. What a charmer Larry is, completely missing the fine detail of a 20-year age difference between the poor woman and his partner is one thing, but moaning about the meals made for him is another. Worst of all, the feeling that neither of the women involved are worthy of an apology.
Yes.
Not forgiven.
Very good. Thank you very much indeed for all the verdicts. Thank you for the confession. Sorry for the lack of other content. This is due to VBC.
VBC?
A very bad cough.
Oh, right.
Come on, everyone knows
that. Come on, Matt. Come on, get with it.
If you have a confession, we would love to hear it. Please send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Matt, do you have a code phrase for this week?
Why not? Let's go for PDA. What was yours? VBC? VBC.
A VBC.
A VBC PDA. Either any of those letters, put them all together and send them off to Simon on social media. Brilliant.
Yes. And do that to... me at Threads or Blue Sky or Instagram or Matt, who's on that Smut channel.
Yeah, the Smut channel. I don't get any replies now on the
we'll
Smut channel.
We'll be back with another fresh batch of confessions and hopefully some fresh voices from me. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie proclaims...
Bye-bye.
From her cupboard, Sister Holly proclaims...
Goodbye.
And from his... brass coloured.
My brass gutter? I thought it was gold. Where's my gold plated gutter?
I thought it was gold.
Demoted?
It looks tarnished now.
So it's tarnished with my lies. Yes, goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Skibbity skip. Skip, yep. Skip.
I thought you were going to say skibbity toilet then. I was like, wow.
Skibbity toilet.
No, you haven't heard. Okay.
No. Okay.